Welcome to episode 1379 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day, based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. This week we have been exploring the sixth commandment and its implications for human flourishing. That commandment is concise.
You shall not murder.
The sixth commandment is brief, just two words in Hebrew, but its meaning stretches far beyond the simple prohibition of killing. When God says, "You shall not murder," He is doing more than outlawing violence. He is declaring that human life carries sacred weight because it bears His image. To forbid murder is to affirm that life matters profoundly, that no person is disposable, and that the community of God's people must be structured in ways that protect and nurture life rather than diminish it. And once we begin to see the commandment this way, a deeper question emerges. If we are forbidden to take life unjustly, what does it look like to actively choose and protect life? That is the larger vision Moses unfolds when he addresses Israel in his valedictory address. At the heart of Israel's covenant with God is a choice, not a command imposed from outside, but an invitation to decide, an invitation to choose. Listen to how Moses frames it in Deuteronomy 30, verses 15 to 19.
"See, I set before you today life and good, death and evil. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I am commanding you today, by loving the Lord your God, walking in his ways, and observing his commandments, decrees, and ordinances, then you shall live and become numerous, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away, and you do not hear, but are led astray to bow down to other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall perish. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Choose life so that you and your offspring may live."
This is not a threat. This is an invitation. God is saying, "I am offering you a choice. One path leads to life. One path leads to death. The choice is yours. Choose life." But what does it mean to choose life? It is not merely a spiritual choice. It is a practical, social, economic choice. It is about how you organize your community, how you treat the vulnerable, how you structure your laws and your institutions. To choose life means to build a society where life is protected, where the vulnerable are cared for, where justice flows, where the weak are not prey to the strong. Throughout the Torah, we see this commitment to life woven into the laws. The sixth commandment forbids murder, but other commandments and additional laws go further. They protect life in concrete, practical ways. Consider the laws about work. Even slaves are given the Sabbath. Even the poorest person is given a day of rest.
6 days you shall do your work, but on the seventh day you shall rest, so that your ox and your donkey may have relief, and your female slave and the resident alien may be refreshed.
Work is necessary, but life, actual rest, actual relief, is protected. The covenant says, life matters more than maximum productivity. Consider the laws about debt. If someone is poor and sells themselves into slavery to pay a debt, they cannot be enslaved forever. This was not a commandment given on a tablet of stone, but it was a guideline shared by Moses in Deuteronomy 15, verses 12 to 15.
"If any of your people, Hebrew men or women, sell themselves to you and serve you 6 years, in the seventh year you must let them go free. When you release them, do not send them away empty-handed. Supply them liberally from your flock, your threshing floor, and your winepress. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and the Lord your God redeemed you."
The law remembers. It remembers what it was like to be enslaved. And it says, you will not reduce a human being to permanent slavery. Even in economic hardship, even when someone owes a debt, their freedom will be restored. Consider the laws about gleaning. After the harvest, you do not harvest everything. You leave the corners of the field and the fallen grain for the poor. Leviticus 23, verse 22.
"When you reap the harvest of your land, do not reap to the very edges of your field, or gather the gleanings of your harvest. Leave them for the poor and for the foreigner residing among you."
This is not charity given reluctantly. This is law. This is covenant. This is the recognition that the vulnerable have a right to provision, that care for the poor is not optional, but central to how God's people live. The laws of Israel are saturated with protection for those who cannot protect themselves. The widow, the orphan, the foreigner, the poor. These are mentioned again and again. Exodus 22, verses 21 to 23.
"Do not mistreat an alien or oppress him, for you were aliens in Egypt. Do not take advantage of a widow or an orphan. If you do, and they cry out to me, I will certainly hear their cry.
Notice the language. God will hear their cry. God is watching. He is paying attention to how the vulnerable are treated. This is not merely a moral suggestion. This is a warning. This is the recognition that God takes the side of the vulnerable. The laws extend to animals. Even your enemy's animal has protection. Here is Moses again in Deuteronomy 22, verse 4.
If you see your enemy's donkey or ox fallen on the road, do not leave it there. Be sure to help it to its feet.
Life, even animal life, is precious. It deserves care and protection. There are laws protecting workers. Deuteronomy 24, verses 14 and 15.
Do not take advantage of a hired worker who is poor and needy, whether that worker is a fellow Israelite or a foreigner residing in one of your towns. Pay them their wages each day before sunset, because they are poor and are counting on it.
Wages must be paid promptly. A poor worker depends on that money to eat. To delay payment is to threaten their survival. The law protects this. What holds all these laws together is memory. Israel is repeatedly told to remember. Remember you were slaves. Remember you were aliens in a foreign land. Remember God freed you. Remember that you depended on God's mercy. This memory shapes ethics. Because you have experienced oppression, you will not oppress. Because you have experienced need, you will care for the needy. Because you have experienced God's mercy, you will show mercy. Deuteronomy 15, verse 15.
Remember that you were a slave in Egypt, and the Lord your God redeemed you from the land of slavery. That is why I command you to do this.
This phrase repeats throughout Deuteronomy. Every major law is grounded in memory. Every protection for the vulnerable is rooted in Israel's own experience of vulnerability. This creates a culture where care for life is not an external obligation, but internal orientation. You do not protect the widow because you are forced to, but because you remember what it was like to be vulnerable. You do not care for the poor because it is politically correct, but because you have received mercy. To choose life means to organize society around the protection and flourishing of all people, especially the vulnerable. It means creating economic systems that do not reduce people to servitude. It means ensuring that basic needs are met. It means protecting rest. It means caring for the widow and orphan. It means asking, what laws will protect life? What practices will ensure that the vulnerable are not prey to the strong? What values will shape how we treat each other? The culture of life is not passive, it is active. It requires intentional structures and laws and practices. It requires prioritizing the vulnerable. It requires remembering. What culture are you creating in your family, your church, your workplace? Does it protect life or exploit it? Does it care for the vulnerable or ignore them? Where are you called to choose life more actively? Is there someone vulnerable in your orbit who needs protection? An exploited worker? A person facing poverty? A person isolated and forgotten? What concrete action can you take? What law or practice in your own sphere could protect life better? Do not be overwhelmed by the enormity of systemic injustice. Start small. Choose life in one relationship, one situation, one decision. God's invitation stands. See that I set before you life and death. The choice is yours. But know this. Choosing life is not just a personal spiritual choice. It is a social choice. It is about the culture you create, the laws you uphold, the way you treat the vulnerable. When a society chooses life, when it protects the vulnerable, cares for the poor, ensures rest and dignity for all, that society flourishes. When a society chooses death, when it exploits the vulnerable, reduces people to commodities, serves only the strong, that society decays from within. The sixth commandment forbids murder. But Israel's laws show us that choosing life goes far beyond avoiding killing. Choosing life means creating structures and practices that protect and flourish all people. Father, help us choose life. Help us see that choosing life is not just a personal choice, but a social one. Help us create families, churches, and communities where the vulnerable are protected. Help us become a people who actively choose life in everything we do. That's our episode. Remember, God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full. Today.